voice. All right. Sunday, sit down.
Sunday. Pshum, pshum, pshum. Brought to you by, but not actually, Monster Energy.
I mean, if you guys want to sponsor us, we'll take it. I mean,
you want to, like, cheers it? Nah, it's too
late. What is this? It's called
Pacific Punch, Papillon.
Okay.
I really don't know what flavor it is. It's kind of weird. It's like something fruity.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But welcome to episode 2.
This is episode 2. Episode
yeah, because we had episode 0 that flopped. Episode 1 yeah, on YouTube.
Yeah, flopped.
It was underwhelming. This is episode 2, episode dose, and we're getting started up. Today, we're going to talk about...
What are we talking about today?
There's going to be a brief segment just, like, on elderly strength and conditioning, and on female strength conditioning, we'll be talking about that, because we're both people that worked with both populations, so I feel like it's a lot of information that's not known. And picking a program, like, a lot of people always ask, like, I get DMs asking, hey, like, what type of program do you use? Like, what type of style do you think we should use? And I think that's the information needs to get out there for basically, like, an office lifter and people trying to figure out for themselves. And then Q&A portion.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
100% on board. Let's go.
So first.
So you want to start? Which one do you start with?
No, I'm kind of pissed, though.
What are you pissed about?
So.
Please tell me.
Alright, so I don't know if you have you seen the episode Family Guy that you know already grinds my gears?
I have, yeah.
Okay, you know already grinds my gears?
Tell me, please.
I hate you. So, like, people that, like, anybody that has, like, I guess a business page or something that, like, they put hashtags on, like, I post videos, and let's say I post a lifting video that's, like, 42 seconds long.
Yeah.
It'll be posted for 2.5 seconds, and I got 14 comments. Yes! DM me! Come on! Like, you know how mad that gets me? I know it's a robot, but it ticks me off.
I don't know where those robots come from. They just kind of automatically, like, what's the point?
I don't know, but they need a raise, because they're on their shit.
They're on their shit real fast. I don't know how they find your post. Like, sometimes they find your post, and you don't even have any hashtags or anything. It just, like, it doesn't make sense to me.
It's like, before I feel like it doesn't even post, and they're already just like, they're on it, bro. This shit. Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
But,
let me ask you, what else grinds your gears?
So,
I heard you start talking about alphabet soup. Oh. What is alphabet soup?
Okay. So, like, how I say alphabet soup is basically the people in their bios that have every single letter in the alphabet. Like, let's say, for example, Garrett AB, ACSM, PhD, ABCDEFG, QR, TYZYPI. And I respect the further education.
Yeah,
like, if you want to get a PhD, get a PhD. I want to get a PhD.
Yeah.
But.
Ooh, smart guy.
But there's just. They try to overcomplicate things so much.
Yeah. It's tough. I think we're going to dive into controversial territory. So there are people who have PhDs, masters, bachelor, even mm-hmm. no college education that are super fucking smart.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets into the realm of people who have these qualifications and just aren't qualified to actually work with real people. We're not going to name anybody
by
name, because we're not perfect either. But you guys know what I'm talking about in the world of Instagram. There's just...
Yeah, like, the Instagram trainers. Like, just because they have those letters in their bio, they think...
I feel like there's a spectrum, too. There's, like, on the end of the spectrum, there's, like, people who, like, have absolutely no idea what they're doing, and mm-hmm. you can tell. Or there's people who, like... have too much knowledge and don't know how to dumb that down for people, and it's overcomplicated.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
they don't dumb it down, yeah.
Kind of pointless. You need to find somewhere in the middle. Because you got, like, fucking PhD, and then you have elementary school education.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But it's like, I don't know, some people, they have, like, a sense of they have to prove themselves.
That's true.
I think that's what it is. True. Like,
you gotta, like, dude, like, I feel like one of the things I learned in school, too, which I only have a bachelor's, but. You need to be able to take all the knowledge you know and dumb it down so you can actually apply to comp people. Because the more terms you start to apply to people, like, I don't want to say the terms that I was going to say, because I kind of give it away.
Eccentric, isometric.
You start throwing a bunch of, like, buzzwords in that people have no idea what I mean. Like, yeah, they're going to get that you're smart, but it's not going to help them anyway, too, you know?
Yeah, like even, like, in the sports world, like, someone texted me the other day, and I referred to RPE in our last... podcast, And not everybody knows what RPE is. I mean, everybody that lifts basically knows what RPE is. Anybody that goes into exercise science, they understand that RPE is rate of perceived exertion.
Yeah.
But the normal person does not know what that is. So it's like, even like we need to do, I need to do a better job of breaking it down.
Yeah, but that's still like, that's not a hard thing to explain too. Because RPE is really just based on intensity. It just measures like how hard it is basically. So like most people, like if they do like a full out sprint and you say, hey, how hard is that on a scale of 1 to 10? They're like, yeah, that's like a 9 or 10, you know? Same thing, like RPE is applicable to different situations, whether cardio or just weightlifting too. So,
I mean,
that's normal shit. Like that's stuff you can teach somebody. But hey, if I say RPE, you got to scale 1 to 10, 10 being the hardest, 1 being the easiest. Like, it's not hard for people to kind of grasp that idea, you know?
Yeah.
But it's hard to get this conversation because I want to give like actual examples.
Oh no,
I don't want to call out anybody's.
I'm giving examples. I don't care.
Go ahead.
There is no reason at all for you to try to combine three different workouts into one. Like, I saw one thing. I'm not gonna say any names. Someone was doing, so they're doing the iso hold on a split squat while doing a cable basically chest press while holding a kettlebell like in a goblet position. Like, you could do the same. You could get the same activation by just doing, let's say, a Bulgarian split squat and supersetting it with a single arm dumbbell bench. Instead of trying to put in, like, I understand body awareness and everything, but there's different ways to go about that. I listened to a podcast that, I think it was like Dave Tate. He said the way he wants to go about it, he doesn't like, want to make any of his clients look stupid.
Like, yeah, bro, yeah. Like, dude, like, I'm saying, like, dude, like, obviously, like, alright, so people don't know, like, I'm a new personal trainer. You've been training people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the main things, too, is just the basics. Like, for me, like, for you, like, the basics would be this basic barbell compound movements. Like, like, no matter if you're a powerlifter or just a general person, too, you kind of want to squat. You do want to deadlift. Some people want to bench press, some don't, but still, those basic barbell movements are just key to everybody, too, you know? Like, there's no reason they should not be doing it. They're all, like, transferable to real life. Like, you squat, you squat down in real life. You deadlift, you didn't bend down and pick up an object, you know? That's okay, yeah, like, most of my newer clients, like, we progress them up to doing, like, full weight squats and deadlifts, too. But there should be no reason why they should be doing some of that shit you're talking about, too, the whole combining three.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit really grinds my gears.
I mean, going back to, like,
at least they're safe, though. At least, like,
I guess.
All right, so I want to say, too, like, if you're going to do that, at least he's not having them, like, in a dangerous kind of position. Like, so, like, if you're over here, too, like, if you're going to overcomplicate things, at least they're safe. Not ideal, but they're safe compared to, like, the other end. People just, like, I guess there's pros and cons, too, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the only pro I can get out of that is basically muscle awareness and just being aware of your body and being able to, like, be in different weird positions. I mean, we're put in positions like that in life. Like, I mean, if you're coming out from, like, the back of a truck and you're, like, you trip and fall or hopping out of bed. Like, it's, like, going to, like, our topic, like, on the elderly. Like, I work with a lot of older people that literally just want to do everyday activities.
Yeah.
Like, just better. Like, I have one client. Like, she's in her 60s. She has osteoporosis. And if you don't know what osteoporosis is, it basically means, like when your bone mineral density is very low. And it's, like,
you're, like, brittle. And
yeah, sure. Very, very fragile. And we've been doing, like some weight training and everything. And she came up to me and she was like, hey, like, I was able to carry in all my groceries by myself this time. Like, there's some people that want to do that. So it's like, for people like that, you know, you do bicep curls. You know, if they're having problems reaching overhead, you do like some overhead shoulder press or something like that with like dumbbells, just basically to adapt to real life situations. There's no reason why these people should be doing isometric split squat, cable row. Like, there's no reason for that. They just want to do everyday life normally.
Well, I guess it depends on like the population too, because like most like these said people we're talking about and addressing. Not even just one person, but, like, overall. It depends population they have. Like, this set people, they have, like, athletes and, like, higher-level people who are already naturally more aware of their stuff, too, you know?
That is true.
That's true. If you get somebody who's, like, new, like, who's never done anything before, that should be the last thing you'd ever want to do is overcomplicate it, too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You can make them do, like, the basic movements.
So, I guess that's like, kind of, like, a... He knows that his population is more advanced, too. Like, athletes... He, she. Whatever. They know they're more advanced too, so they can do more stuff too. But I don't know.
My biggest thing is it makes these people look so stupid.
Oh, it looks so
stupid.
It's not. I mean, it's not their fault.
I mean, it's not their fault. Like, but
they paid for it. They signed up for it. You know.
At the end of it just really, it really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, dude, like, even like some professional athletes, like, you could get the same benefit from literally just doing a superset, and at the same time, it's actually better for you because you just focus on the one movement. So it's like you're able to put like maximum effort in that one movement. Like, if you're doing a squat, let's say a squat, the main purpose of a barbell back squat is to basically overload those muscles, right? Yeah. Like, you can't overload a hamstring curl, you can't overload a leg extension. So it's like, in order to overload those leg muscles, you do a back squat where you can put like a certain amount of weight on there,
yeah,
to get the benefits of it.
Well, we also don't see everything he does too. He or she. We don't see everything that person does. So they could just be posting the set stuff just like to show like the highlight, like the most like detailed, like advanced exercises, just for like show.
I just think he's trying to piss me off personally.
Yeah. I'm kinda mad now.
No,
I'm kinda mad now.
Well, I think the person's trying to,
that said person could, yeah, be anybody. The shoe fits.
Could be a dog. I mean, we don't know what you're talking
could
about.
Could be whoever.
Anyway.
But, I mean, yeah, also it kind of weirds me out too, because like, I think everybody should be able to do all the different types of like exercises too. Like, you know, mm-hmm, there's different types of like hypertrophy, main focus stuff, explosive, yeah, strength, like
plyometrics.
But I think it's kind of weird when you have like more like set clients who are mainly like bodybuilders and stuff doing just pure explosive how the fuck you say that word?
Stabilization.
I'm stupid too. Stabilization exercises too. I mean, yeah, like everybody should have a little bit of something, but like, dude, like, if your main thing coming out with somebody who's a fucking bodybuilder is doing a few sets of a single arm loaded, I don't know, bro. I don't know what's up with it.
It does depend on the population.
It does a lot.
But like, so we talk about this in class. So basically, I feel like everything you do, there's an inverted U to it. Like, let's say,
inverted U.
So let's talk about So let's say running and powerlifting.
Yeah.
Two different sides of the spectrum. In the middle, there's plyometrics. A runner could do plyometrics and learn a lot from it and get more explosive with it, and that would benefit, you know, the closer distance runner. And then a powerlifter could also do plyometrics to basically activate those muscles and activate the fast twitch muscles. And at the same time, a runner could do heavy resistance training that the powerlifter does.
Oh, shit, I forgot too. Like, am I talking close enough to my mic?
Move this forward.
I hope you guys have heard me so far.
Probably.
Hello. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear that. All right.
We're not live. Okay. But basically, everything has its place in everything. Like, a runner is supposed to do resistance training, and not saying that a powerlifter has to go run.
Yeah.
400 meters, but they could benefit from the explosive power of it.
They could definitely benefit from that kind of conditioning and shit too, obviously.
Yeah, so like, it depends on the population you're going for. But at the same time, like, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. Like, keep it simple. You never heard of that? You never heard about that?
I think I've heard keep it simple, stupid, but never KISS.
I mean, it's an acronym.
It makes sense now.
Makes a lot of sense. But like, just keep that exercise simple. And then basically just maximize that one exercise so you get the max benefits of it. Instead of same thing, like we were talking about, like multitasking and monotasking.
Yeah.
Like, you do one specific workout and you basically focus, put all your energy on that, you'll be able to load that a lot more than trying to combine three different workouts into one.
That's a big thing too. Like, I know, like, I just, like I said, like, I'm not perfect, but I just started doing personal training too. And one of the things I've seen around, just not recently, but time too, people just like, when they bring a new client in, number one, they don't do an assessment, which is a conversation for another time, too.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And they just, like, the exercise, like, selection, it's just so random and sporadic, and there's no progression to it, too. Like, obviously, like, if you have somebody else, you want to make it exciting, so you're not always going to keep the exercise the same. Like, you're going to rotate them, change them,
mm-hmm,
give them some kind of thing to look forward to, too. But I know for me, there should be, like, some kind of base, like, exercises that you keep progressing over time, too. So, like, all my clients, too, like, once we actually, like, progress them and assess them and get them down doing, like, free weight, body weight stuff, like squats and deadlifts,
mm-hmm,
those would be, like, the main core exercises, and everything else would just be surrounding that, too.
Yeah, actually have structures.
I mean, obviously, it's not going to be squats and deadlifts for everybody. It's going to change based on the person, the assessment, too. But
mm-hmm,
there should be some things that you keep, like, the main bread and butter, and keep working, building those up, and then have everything else surrounding that, too, you know?
I think Meek Mill said it the best, saying that there's levels to this shit, man.
There's levels to this shit.
And shout out to Meek Mill, big fan. And yeah, I mean,
delicious.
You can't just skip you can't just skip the levels, like as you said, making assessments. That's
people really don't do assessments anymore. That's the first thing I was taught.
Yeah, I feel like that's literally the main thing you should do.
Thing.
Yeah, because you can't just throw so like you never know if someone has a bum knee or someone had surgery 15 years ago.
Yeah,
you don't do an assessment. You don't ask them these questions. You don't have them do body weight squats. See if there's any like basically like changes in their bodies, like any overcompensations or anything. Like if you don't do that, you throw them into an exercise to where they don't feel comfortable doing.
Yeah.
And that basically leads to injury. That's why. That's also why, like, a lot of people are scared to work out. Like, going back to...
Oh, dude, there's so much fucked up shit, too.
Yeah, yeah. Like going back to elderly. Like, the main reason, especially with, like, elderly women, because, like, if you look at...
I don't know what came out.
Just push it in there, guy.
Well, I wanted to see, like, it actually comes out. It's kind of cool.
Okay. So, like, the main thing with... elderly is, so I'm go like spit facts. So like basically 7 out of 10 people with osteoporosis are females. That's due to like, you know, natural anatomy. Like they have like bone mineral density is like lighter and like the
estrogen, like,
workouts.
Once they hit like, I think if I remember this correctly, don't fact check me. I think when they hit like menopause, like the estrogen levels drop, and that also can lead to osteoporosis.
I'm
pretty sure that's correct. I want to say this.
It is.
It's been like a year since I got out of school. So
yeah. And
but something about hormones too. That's why it's a big like thing, especially for women.
And basically, the rumor goes around because they're scared to work out because they're scared of getting hurt. Because you know, there's a big rumor going around that if you do weight training, there's a huge risk factor. When actually there really isn't. Like it's actually it's one of the safest out of the sports. Like let's say compare powerlifting to football. Compare powerlifting to like even basketball, such an explosive sport where you can roll your ankle, break stuff really quick. And it's like
that's life though, bro. You can really do that shit. Like you can break your ankle just walking down the street, you know?
Yeah, and there's a expectation, and then there's some people that basically mold it for the rest of us. And like there's some people that have the platform that may have a higher injury rate.
Peach, that's the flavor.
May have a higher injury rate to where people get hurt. But at the same time, if you are older, if you are past menopause and you do have a risk of osteoporosis, the science says in order to basically make your bone mineral density stronger and increase it, you have to do weight-bearing exercise.
Yeah.
You have to load the spine.
I mean, like, I know in most cases, like, if you're already suffering from, like, osteoporosis, weight training is not, it might not help you actually, like, build any more muscle, but it can also definitely slow down the loss of muscle, too, which is a big thing.
Bone density. Bone. I mean, I have clients with osteoporosis, and, like, literally, they come in, the first time I worked with them, they're, like, aching, they're like, oh, like, this hurts, and then after a while, it becomes less of a pain, more of a soreness, and then goes from soreness to being, oh, like, it's only there when I do certain things,
yeah.
And then it's, like, things get easier, so it's just, you have to use your body. I mean, you know, they say, like, use it or lose it. Like, if you don't use your body the way it's supposed to be used, and you don't build up these foundations, like, you're not gonna get anywhere, because, I mean, structure is everything. Like, the biggest thing, the scariest thing to someone that's older is falling. Like, you've seen the Life Alert commercials, help, I've fallen, I can't get up. Like, that's basically a thing that's very common, and it can be detrimental to people. It can be detrimental to the older population.
Yeah.
So, it's like, they have to be able to have that structure, and it just goes back to bone structure, muscle structure, just being able to control their body in a way to where everyday life becomes easier. It also comes like plyometrics. I heard about something about that. Like you don't have to do triple jumps into a box squat into like no. Like if you could just simply do a depth jump where you or depth drop where you literally get a box, it could be literally 5 inches high.
Yeah.
And just drop and land on both feet. That transfers over very well to getting out of bed, or to losing your footing.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely all relative too. Like everything's gonna be different based on the individual. Like I know for me, like. I don't know what kind of assessments you guys do, but, like, if I bring somebody in for the first time, like, hey, like, we're going to measure your strength, like, your lower body strength.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the individual, like, if they're really, like, if they've exercised before and they've done resistance training,
mm-hmm.
it might be some kind of squat, deadlift, too. If they haven't, it might be, like, a leg press or even more, like, a leg extension, like, mm-hmm. curl. Just something they can do, you know? Same thing upper body-wise. If they've done it before, bench press, not some kind of machine, too.
Yeah, I mean, I work with more, I guess, gen pop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I have a couple athletes that I do work with, but usually it's like... Usually it's mostly like gen pop, so our assessments usually lead more to, oh, do a box squat, we're going to do a walking lunge, see like if one side is stronger than the other.
Yeah.
Like, a single arm dumbbell bench, and then basically just see like if there's any like favorable sides,
yeah,
and then work off there. And like range of motion, like do a bodyweight squat if your knees cave in,
yeah,
or if it, just like small things that we could pick up on, but oh, like knees cave in, yeah, weak abductors.
Yeah.
But okay, like we pick up on things, so that's basically how our assessments go.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people don't do assessments, which is back to what we said is stupid.
Yeah, I guess, dude, like, it depends. Like, assessment's good for two things. I mean, I think it's definitely good. Obviously, if you're going to start working with somebody, to see, like, where they are for you, so mm-hmm. you can plan ahead. Also, dude, a lot of people don't do, like, programming for their clients, too, you know? Like,
they don't individualize the program?
They don't. Like, obviously, like, if you're going, like, a person in person, it doesn't have to be, like, super detailed.
Yeah.
But you need to have some kind of, like, progression idea, like, what they're going to do ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of bringing them in, just, like, throwing him out there, you know, like, hey, I want you to do fucking leg press and then bicep curls, like just some random
just get a sweat going.
Yeah, dude, that's,
I mean,
that's not everything. Just because, like, dude, like, I had this conversation before, like, just because, like, a good workout does not mean, just because you're tired and sweaty doesn't mean it was a good workout, you know?
Yeah,
that can definitely come from a good workout, but there should be more to it than, like, dude, like, you can give anybody a set of exercises and get them all hot, sweaty, and tired, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't mean great. I can give you sets like fucking like 15 on air squats and then just jumps and sprints and you have a good little workout, but
that's true. And I feel like that also comes with being a good trainer or not. Like, if you actually, because like a lot of people, they like they're just trying to quote unquote make their bag. So,
well, yeah, that's a big thing too. I mean, you gotta make your bag,
but it's like these people are paying you their money. In order, like, if it's like a group training class, okay, that's different.
That's different.
That's a whole different thing, like a whole different ballpark. But
we just had a group training class yesterday.
Yeah, like group training class, you're not gonna go up to 30 different people and be like, okay, you're gonna do this. It's a group training. But if it's like individualized training, they're training to be one on one with you.
Yeah.
It's like you have to put that time and effort because they're giving you their money to have that individualized thing. Like if they just wanted to get sweat, they sign up for a spin class or they sign up for a group training course. But they pay one-on-one for your attention and for your expertise. Like, if you're going to have alphabet soup in your bio, you better know what you're doing.
Another big thing I realized, too, this is kind of like... So this comes down to kind of like... Whenever you're doing something, like, especially like training people, you want to always have their best intentions in mind, not just yours.
Mm-hmm.
And by having their best intentions, it always helps you in the end, too. So what I'm saying is, like, say, like I know when I just started out, too, like, I had some, like... not young, but like younger, like mid-20 clients,
mm-hmm.
They didn't have like steady income, so you know they can't commit to 3 or 4 times a week too, maybe once or twice. And I'm like, hey, like I want you to do better. I want to see you do better. So here's the exercises I want you to do here with me. And then on your own, I want you to do these stuff, which doesn't give me money directly, you know, if they're going by themselves to the local commercial gym and doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long term, that effort and care you show to your clients always comes back around too.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
I mean that's what we got. That's why we get in the job, to help people.
Dude, yeah, of course, bro. People get so focused, like, hey, like I want to make my bag, but they become like very money focused,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of just backfires on them too, you know?
Yeah, and at the same time, we're not saying don't make your money.
Of course not.
I mean, I'm a college student. I need my money.
Yeah.
But it's like at the same time, don't cheat someone out of their cheat someone out of their success.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to make your bag. Like, if you can help out, I mean, give a tip. But don't, like, you don't have to sit down and have a full conversation. Like, you see someone in the gym doing something wrong, you don't have to sit down and break down everything to them. I mean, you give them a tip, like, hey, like, try to keep your back, like, a little more tight.
I mean, people are very intuitive, too. Like, they're going to know, like, what you're doing, you know? Like, mm-hmm. even if you try not to show, like, they're going to tell if you're very, like, just money hungry or if you actually care, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all my clients, I try to go as much out the way I can for them, you know, too. But people will always know.
Yeah.
Just do a good job, and it'll always come back to you.
That's a good way to end that. But, I wanted to bring this up earlier. Back on the, picking the program that we talked about.
Yeah.
Like, so I've gotten DMs of people, like, asking, like, how to pick a program. Like, what, like, should they do conjugate training? Should they do, like, linear progression, linear periodization? And I'm just like, honestly, it's up to you. Like,
yeah.
In that situation, it is the best point to pick and choose what you want to do. Like, my mom always says, take everything with a grain of salt. So it's like, you get advice, you get tips from everybody, and you're like, okay, I like that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use this. I'm going to use that. And don't just try to stick to one thing. Like, try everything out. Because a lot of people, like, they're like, oh, well, this guy's doing conjugate training, and he's jacked.
Yeah.
So it's going to work for me, but maybe it won't. Maybe more linear periodization. But maybe some of the thought processes in conjugate training would help activate something for you. Oh, that'll help.
Yeah.
So it's basically just being able to know yourself, know your body, and figure out what works for you. I mean, exercise is trial and error the whole time.
100%.
I mean, that's why you see people that they hit plateaus for a bit until they try something else new out and then make a breakthrough. So it's like, yeah, you're just constantly getting new information, constantly picking and choosing from different types of people. Like the best thing you could do is listen to people talk.
Yeah.
Like, go on YouTube, type in Elite FTS, or type in, oh, what is conjugate training, or what is linear periodization, and there's going to be hundreds of videos and just people just talking and breaking down what they do. And some of the time, you're going to listen to that, but I don't like that. So, you know what? Don't do it. But you don't have to do it just because The Rock eats 10,000 calories a day.
You could.
And lifts this much. I mean,
The Rock's fucking,
you could try it, but that's The Rock. I mean, he has a different genetic makeup than you do. That's so it's true. Like, you just have to figure out what works for you and what has helped you in the past. And if you haven't worked out in the past, hey, keep trying. Just don't hurt yourself. Like, just stay within your ballpark. Know when to stop. You know, people say no pain, no gain. Don't listen to that. The difference between pain and discomfort. Figure out that, and then know yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else to add to that? Sorry.
Yeah, you talked for a whole 5 minutes, bro. Please let me get my thoughts in now.
Okay, continue. Your turn. Because you do all this extra shit, man.
Well, like you said, it is trial and error. I agree with that, too. You can always, like, find new things you want to do. But it's kind of similar to diet, too. It's, like, the best... You know what I say about diet? But, like, the best diet is the one you stick with.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to exercise and program. The best one is the one you stick with. Like, there's thousands of programs out there that can all work depending on you and how you do it, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Find what you like. Find what's not... As long as it's not crazy, you're going to hurt you. Stick to that. Get better. Boom.
And don't do CrossFit. I'm kidding. Do whatever you like. Do whatever makes you happy. It's a joke. It's a powerlifting joke. Ha ha. Jokey joke. Laugh.
I'm telling the CrossFit community right now.
No, please don't tell them. I know some CrossFit people.
People are canceled. Okay, I got some questions too.
Yeah, we're gonna head over to the Q&A portion.
My nose is itching.
I'm gonna scratch it then.
Okay, I got a good question. What's your favorite post workout meals?
Okay, so for me, a heavy day, you know, I've been hopping on Larry's Giant Subs. There's a Larry's right across the street. So that's what I usually do on heavy days. I get
over here.
Yeah, there's, like, right around the corner. Like, you go out on
Oh, you gotta go.
Yeah, like, you make a left, it's like by Chick-fil-A area, but on the other side.
Is that even good?
Larry's is good. I mean, I get the pizza sub, or I get they have a Cuban there, and not a Cuban person, but a Cuban sandwich. There, that's it's really good, not very oily, so like you're not gonna poop yourself. And so I usually go Larry's before, and then I go Chipotle after.
Damn,
that's crazy.
That's crazy.
What's your go-to?
That is a good question. So, so I usually work out in the morning too, so I'm not usually as hungry when I wake up. So it's something lighter. So I think the easiest thing I can take down in the morning is number one, a protein shake. Some protein in, and then a little bit of rice too. Rice just goes. What the fuck is that?
I got hiccups. That hurt. Okay.
The fuck?
Okay.
That's gonna. This is gonna be like a promo video on YouTube or Instagram. What the fuck is wrong with you? You good?
I'm fine.
Post workout. That's a good question. What do I feel post workout? Whatever kind of sounds good.
Angie subs
is good. Something usually not healthy. Which I gotta do better about. I'm gonna go to Publix today. I don't know if everybody listening to this is music recording. That stopped automatically. It stopped.
Go up and then press.
That girl that ordered for from my shop followed me yesterday. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. The camera recording stopped for a bit. So we're going to take a little hiatus. And for 2 seconds, while we get that started back up, go to the back and press the bottom square button on the left, on the right. Boom. And now exit out. Press the red record button on top. Press again. Boom. There we go. Okay, we're back.
Jet. Let's go. Got to cut that out.
Are you done answering your...
What question?
The post-workout question.
Yes.
Okay. So I have a question for... I guess this is for both of us. Yes. Workouts to turn a big boy into a muscly boy.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So...
You're asking the wrong people.
All right. So workouts to turn a big boy into a muscly boy.
Muscly boy.
I hate to say this, but basically anything high intensity. Like anything that's gonna get your heart rate going.
What's the question again?
Workout to turn a big boy into a muscly boy. So I mean, you could do basically normal workouts, like anything weight bearing, and just keep the intensity up, just to keep the heart rate up. Like you don't have to go out and run a mile every day. Like you could literally do sets of 8 on a workout, but then take less breaks. And then you'll burn more fat because your heart rate stays up, and then you'll build the muscle under. You just got to eat too after. Like, make sure you're feeding your body what it needs to do what it's got to do.
Fuck. Can I ask you a question? Or you
no, yeah, you're a big boy. I'm a muscly boy. See what I did there?
Yeah, shit. So let's take this question and assume like he's a big boy that has never worked out before too. So even if he starts working out, he's going to build some kind of muscle. So he slowly starts turning into a muscly boy. But it's kind of dissimilar to like body recomposition too. So like you said, high intensity stuff.
Uh-huh.
Very high intensity. Just push it, weightlifting, resistance training, whatever. High-ass protein. A lot of protein.
Yep. Help repair those muscles.
I guess you can do either like maintain or do like a slight caloric deficit. That should help too. Because if you're building muscle and doing all this stuff too,
mm-hmm.
your weight might stay the same. You're sort of slowly like recompositioning your body too.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
I'm not an expert on nutrition stuff too, but it makes sense to me. Like if you've never like lifted before,
mm-hmm.
you start training hard, you start eating more protein, kind of maintain or lower your calories.
Yeah.
You're going to see some big muscly boy differences, you know?
Yeah. I'm not going to give you any... nutrition.
Yeah, I'm not an expert.
Yeah, we're not registered dietitians. I mean, I have a friend that could help you out with that, and I might have her on the show later. But are you really watching Snapchat?
No,
or Instagram. Sorry. Okay, but from a workout standpoint, just keep the intensity high and just keep lifting weights.
Hell yeah.
You got a question next? Or you want to go to one of mine?
I'll go to one of mine.
Yep.
They got a few good questions. Let's see which one. Okay, let's start with the easier one. Let's talk about the deadlift program and why we decided to make it. So for you guys that don't know, me, Brandon, and our other friend made a deadlift program. When was that, a few months ago?
It was probably 2 months ago, yeah.
And I think it was like, it must have been...
No, it was like 2 months ago. Well, it was like a month and a half.
Yeah.
2 months.
So we made a deadlift-only program 2 days a week for a full 12 weeks. Pretty successful. People liked it. I haven't heard anything about it in a while. I wonder if anybody's, like, finished it yet, you know? They haven't really said anything. I don't know.
I don't think... But it hasn't been out for 12 weeks yet, so it's like...
It has been. Maybe?
I don't know, bro. Time's been going by fast, bro.
So why'd you make it? Answer the question.
Well, first off... So the deadlift program personally wasn't my idea. I was brought in as a source, as well as a, like, so if you guys don't know, like, my squat's starting to get better, but I used to be what they call a deadlift specialist, to where, like, I had a decent squat, bench was below average for my size, and my deadlift really set, like, put me ahead, so.
Your deadlift's stupid, that's why.
With two stupid. O's. But, yeah, so I basically thought it was just like a good way to help people to like really grow, especially like novice people that never like deadlift before, that basically just do whatever they see on YouTube or whatever they see like other people doing Instagram, to actually give them some structure.
Yeah.
To the point that they can actually make gains and actually grow and see progress, because you can only do so much by yourself.
That's true.
That's why, like, even like coaches have their own coach. That's why, like, he's my coach, I'm his coach. And it's like,
people don't like that. I'm not gonna say her name, but she's cool. But she asked me yesterday. She was like, "Do you guys just coach each other?" And I was like, "Yeah, kind of." She was like, "Oh, that's cool."
I mean, it's the easiest way to do stuff. Yeah. I mean, we both have knowledge, and at some point, when you program for yourself, you get some sort of bias. Like,
that's true.
Like, it'll be like in the middle of the week, I'm like, you know, I want to send her on a squat, and I change my program and put an RP of 9 when it was originally supposed to be a 7. Like,
yeah.
But back to the deadlift program. So why did you decide to hop on the?
Well, it was actually not my idea either. It was actually Ashton's idea. For anybody who knows that is on here, probably not.
He deadlifts 881 pounds.
Yeah. So I mean, I thought it'd be fun too. I've never done an actual it wasn't truly cookie cutter, but anything you order a template is going to be somewhat cookie cutter, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be fun. It wasn't really expensive either, so it wasn't a huge money opportunity. Now we weren't trying to just make a huge lot of money. We were trying to put out there something to help people, and then you get people that follow Ashton and follow you. Him pulling 900, you pulling 800. You know, they're young, they're kids, they just want to see if they can do it too. And then I think it helped them so far.
Yeah, I mean, from what we got the first couple weeks.
Everybody liked it at first, and I don't know if they've actually continued to run it. I have yet to hear anything.
I mean, we'll see at the end of the 12 weeks if we ever host any.
I hope anybody, I hope some people do.
Yeah, I mean, that's really cool to see as a trainer.
Yeah. Big ol' facts.
So, I guess I'll do the next question.
Give me a
pros and cons comparably of deadlifting when it comes to using a stiff bar and or a deadlift bar. Are you serious, dude?
I'll see what this is. Hey.
So, pros and cons comparably of deadlifting when it comes to using a stiff bar or deadlift bar. My biggest thought is leverage. Well, especially for sumo, you get more leverage on a deadlift bar because the bend of the bar.
Yeah.
So my first meet was APF, you use a deadlift bar, and then my next meet is going to be USAPL, which uses a power bar, which is super stiff. Super stiff. And
that plus, kilos.
Yep.
Ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, it does, there's barely any bend. So,
nothing.
The biggest thing when it comes to, deadlifting with a deadlift bar versus a stiff bar is the leverage. The amount of time, how long you have to stay tight for. With the stiff bar, you basically just have to keep on pulling. With the deadlift bar, you get some sort of slack. So it's like,
and the patience too. You gotta be patient with it.
Yeah, you gotta be more patient off the ground. That's the biggest thing I see, the leverage, honestly, and just how much longer it takes to pull and break ground with the stiff bar.
Yeah. Well, if your meet, if whatever federation you're in, if they use a deadlift bar, then you can use both a deadlift bar and a power bar in training.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use USAPL, it's only a power bar, you're not going to use a deadlift bar too, you know?
Yeah, does not transfer over.
Does really not. But, yeah, I mean, deadlift bar is way more fun, more whip too.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the cons too. It's if you're not used to the whip, it might throw you off.
That is true. Once it breaks ground, the whip can throw you off
if it breaks ground.
Yeah. And the good thing about a power bar or a stiff bar, it'll let you know real quick if you can't pull that weight. A deadlift bar might trick you a bit because it'll bend for a while. With a stiff bar, you try to pull and it'll just go, nope. And you know it's not going anywhere.
No, sir. Sorry, I'm not looking. I'm trying to find a question. Yeah, but deadlift bar is way more fun. End of question.
USAPL boy.
I hope this thing's actually recording me. Cause...
Dude.
Hello.
Bro, just read the question.
Cool. Sorry. Alright, PEDs, have you ever considered them? And what's your opinion on natty lifters? Natty.
Okay. So.
So what are PEDs?
Performing enhancing drugs. So steroids. And for just for normal people to know what it is, because some people they hear performance enhancing drugs and they're like, oh, what is that? It's steroids. It's, yeah,
creatine, BCAAs.
those don't count.
Protein powder.
Shut up. thoughts on PEDs? I mean, if you use them, I mean, you do. That's a personal preference. Me personally, I don't think I have no really like want to use any PEDs.
Because you're also a freak too, you know.
Yeah, but at the same time, me personally, I don't like messing with my hormones.
That's true.
The most I'm messing with my hormones is taking some pre-workout and getting some caffeine in there, shaking a bit. That's the most I like to do. And I just like things to be in my control. I don't want
That's a whole other factor to worry about too.
Yeah. That's my thought on PEDs. Will I ever take them? Don't think so. I mean, that's not in my plans. And yeah, so what's your pickup on PEDs?
Oh, I don't care. It's not my business, you know, like most things. If it's not about me, I don't care. Like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I do have an opinion on natty lifters.
You know? Is that being like sarcastic of people that claim that they're natty, but they're not?
Yeah, so there's two things. So too, like, PEDs are like it's a private issue, so there's a difference between lying about it and just not mentioning it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, someone who chooses not to, like, address it, because it's nobody else's business, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good for you, you know? Like, it shouldn't be, like, you. If you don't want to talk about it, then you shouldn't have to,
yeah,
you know? But if you use them, and people know you use them, and then you claim that you don't...
That pisses me off.
For some kind of financial or social, like, personal gain.
Yeah.
That's when the issue comes in, too. Like, if you've been taking them for a while and you lie to the audience, say, yeah, like, I'm natural, nothing ever, and you try to sell that idea and image to, like, younger kids who are more naive, that can lead to issues, too.
Yeah, and
that's a big... That's wrong.
And that's a real big thing with, like, social media, too. Like,
social media is...
Like, a lot of people that... Like, so let's say someone claims that they're natty and they're not. Yeah. It gives a lot of people, like, false hope or, like, misconceptions about what they should look like or what they should be doing and, like, how fast they should be progressing. Well, and that leads to, like... It's, like, the same thing as, imaging. Like, all you see is people, all we see on Instagram, people with six-packs and waxed chests.
Those aren't bad images to have, because that can, depending on the person, that can give you something like, to work towards and be motivated towards.
Just don't lie about it,
though. But, like, say, like, if you, like, say, like, you're a natty, and you come out with some kind of, example one, like, some kind of program... Like, hey, buy my program and then you're going to get super jacked and strong like me. Or you sell some kind of products, some kind of supplements. But hey, like, buy these. Like, say that, like, you've been taking my stuff for a while and you're like, hey, like, I have this crazy BCAAs that help you get super jacked. And you're, like, selling that, the false image of what you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay.
No, not okay at all.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I guess it depends on the person, too. Like, at the end of the day, it's not my business. I don't care what anybody does, too. Just don't take advantage of your fan base and people looking up to you using that false image.
Yeah, you know? If you pop positive on the test, you look like a clown too.
You do.
Yeah. Like, you've been saying you've been natty all this time, and then
most people who claim they're natty and, like, people, like, question it, they won't take a test, so they won't do.
Yeah, they usually stay at untested federations or something like that.
Yeah, that's fine. Do you? But, like, just don't
lie.
Don't lie about it. Then again, lying is not the same thing as just
not talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Like, I personally don't care if you take it. Just if you
do you, bro.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard to tell if someone does. Well, I mean, I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's tough. Like, there's a lot of genetically gifted people that you can't tell. But there are some people that it's a little more clear they are, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're super, like, if you're, like, 260 plus jacked with, like, 0% body fat, you know, you might be a little bit, like, kind of... Not for sure, you never know. But you could kind of get a more clear idea, you know?
I just try not to guess, because it's kind of like the same thing as, like, don't try to guess one's weight or their age. Like, you don't ask, don't tell, just stay quiet.
It's really not my business in the day.
Yeah. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, this is a good one. Why do high reps on deadlifts when most lifters start to crumble after doing 5 reps? And
damn. So, we're out of shape, number one.
One, out of shape. So the reasoning behind it is muscular endurance, first off. And
oh, super jacked in the cycle.
Whatever. Muscular endurance. And with the, like, basically with form crumbling, I feel like if you do it in an efficient way, your form won't crumble. Like how we've been experimenting with you, how you reset after each rep.
Yeah.
To basically make each rep look the same. Like, where it does start to crumble is when you get those people, like, let's say doing deadlifts and they're bouncing the weight and they're getting out of position.
Yeah.
And that's when form starts to crumble. But if you, let's say you do a set of 8 and you reset after each rep, there's a good chance that your form won't crumble, especially if you stay within, like, if you do RPE range, if you stay within your RPE range, there's a good chance that you should be able to make every rep look the same, or if not, very similar.
Yeah, I mean, that comes down to weight, too. Like, if you're, like, choosing weights and percentages that are way too heavy that you shouldn't be,
yeah,
of course your form's uncrumble, too. Like, anybody can maintain form with 50% of their max, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that comes down to a few things. Then recovery, too. Like, if you're not recovering, everything starts to get heavy. And then just simply not being in shape to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But deadlift's also pretty taxing, too, so that can take a lot out of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, just here's the whole point. The easy thing to do would be just don't go with 5 reps.
Don't do that.
Don't go over?
No. Like, I don't know if this is a biased opinion. But especially like with us being powerlifters, I feel like muscular endurance is a huge thing, because like when you're in a meet, like you do say you only get 9 lifts, right?
Yeah.
But this is after a full 4 or 5 hour meet. You've squatted basically 3 times maximal weight.
Yeah.
You benched 3 times maximal weight, and then if you do take that into account, if you don't practice for that fatigue, you don't practice for you being tired,
yeah,
then you're never gonna make it through a meet. So it's like, yeah, you're only going to pull 3 times, but at the same time, it's not like you're pulling 60%, 70%, 80%.
Yeah.
No, you're trying to basically max out 3 times on a lift.
That's true.
So if you don't have that muscular endurance training, you don't have that feeling of being tired and still pushing through and basically keeping form,
yeah,
then you're not going to make it through a meet. That's why I also say like reset after each rep, because, I mean, it may take you a little bit longer. Yeah, it may take you a lot longer, but you'll be more efficient. You'll get all the benefits of the weight, and there's less risk of injury, because if you stay within your weight range, you stay within what you know you can do, you can make every single rep look the same. Maybe a little bit slower, but your technique will not falter after 5 reps.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can answer that question.
Nice. I think that's all I got for that one, too.
Yeah. Do you have another question?
Yeah, I got a few questions, actually. Yeah. I actually had a good question I thought about last night when I was sleeping.
Oh, that's cool. We can talk about that, son.
What?
Stupid
freaking idiot. Where is the question I wanted? Let's just go with this one. What are your goals in the future? Whether it be the business, brand, lifting, whatever. I know you got a few things going right now, so please, I want you to tell me all those things and explain where you want those to go.
Okay.
While you're Joe Rogan right now.
So for me personally, I want to get a PhD. Right now I'm in
alphabet soup.
right now I'm in between getting a PhD for physical therapy or going to do like exercise physiology, sport physiology.
That's a lot of letters.
Whatever. There's that. As you guys know, like, my Instagram name is Bam Bam Fit, so I want to open up a gym that's like a great gym, but also for athletes, because I did play baseball, and I want to be like Bam Bam Fitness, so I want that to get started up. And I also just want to be like well known in like basically health science world, the personal training world, the powerlifting world. Like, I want to compete at a national level. And be known at a national level. Those are my main goals. And basically, I mean, don't know how long it's going to take, and I'm just going to, those are my goals right now. Those are my, I guess, 8-year goals.
Yeah.
Within the next 8 years, I want to achieve the majority of those.
That's a good-ass answer.
Thanks, Dad.
Damn. Perfect. I guess I have to go.
Yeah, your turn.
Yeah. So, as we record this right now, I really don't know my goals personally. I know an idea where I want to go. I want to keep building the personal training business. I want to keep building my own brand. I eventually want to open some kind of business. I don't know if it's going to be a gym or just like clothing, whatever it's going to be. Just something. I'll figure that out as I go. But, I mean, the main goal is just constantly keep moving forward. My Taurus lifts just shipped.
Nice.
About to squat something. Stupid. That's the only answer I got to. Just mind your business. You'll see the goals come whenever they come. This is a question I have in my head. Pros and cons of using your phone in the gym. Give me some of your pros, and then give me some of your cons of it.
What do you mean by using? Like, texting, or...
I guess just having your phone on you in the gym.
I'm not a fan of it. I mean, now, if you're changing music, okay, yeah, like, you do that. Because, I mean, music basically can affect the performance and everything to some extent.
Big facts.
But if you're texting, or if you're on Snapchat, you're Snapchatting your girls, oh, I'm in the gym, are you taking, like, mirror pictures and stuff, there's a time and place for that. Like, you can do it after your workout, but I feel like when you do it during your workout, you lose focus. Like, I feel like if you're lifting, you're lifting. Like, that's why I see people have the most success. Now, if you're using your phone to take a video of a set, and then you're looking at form, you're looking at set, or like, that's why you're using your phone for, yeah, go for it. Like, if it's benefiting you, go for it. But if in between each set, you're texting someone or you're Snapchatting, like, I feel like you should cut yourself off from the outside world while you're lifting.
Yeah. That comes down to the whole, like, monotasking shit we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Tough to digest.
Dissect. Attaboy.
Dude, sorry. It's like, Sunday's always my mentally slow day. Which happens to be the same day that we actually do Sunday sit down. But I guess my answer would be, I guess some pros would be, obviously, if you need to see a program, because most of the programs are on phones. Music, videos, timer, if you need a timer.
Yeah.
The cons, definitely get distracted. That's like the huge thing right there, too.
Big facts.
I get distracted on my phone, because I always, like, have something else in my mind, too. I try to put my phone down, but I also need it for everything else, like music, lifting. I've tried recently to have, like, personally, like, when I'm playing on music, I can't stay to one song or one album. I have to just keep flipping and switching.
Yeah, you go Lil Baby Gunna, 21 Savage, Lil Baby Gunna.
Sometimes Drake.
Don Toliver.
Ooh.
New Nav album out.
New Nav album hard. Lil Baby. That shit on the...
Continue.
Yeah, so I need to get better about A, having pre-selected music. B, videos. Videos is hard, because every time I open my camera, I automatically look at the messages. And I usually have the most messages around the time I lift, which is shitty how it works out.
Put your phone on do not disturb. Airplane mode.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess there's pros and cons, but just the main thing is stay focused on your workout and get better today.
All right, Russell.
I just Russell'd it. Shout out to the boy.
But another question. This for me and you.
This for you, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely for you.
Will you ever try strongman? And once you pull 800 sumo, will you try to pull a conventional? Okay.
I know who has this question.
Yeah, my only strongman friend.
The only strongman friend. Shout out,
Andrew.
I was gonna say
name. Nah, give me name. It doesn't matter. So would I try strongman? That I might. I mean, I'm always up for a challenge, and I feel like strongman's fun because it's a lot of different. Like, powerlifting is just squat, bench, and deadlift, and I feel like strongman's a lot of cool things.
You do CrossFit too.
Not doing CrossFit,
okay.
But strongman. Like, I mean, I've seen people like drag cars and stuff. Like, it looks super fun. So
yeah.
I might try out strongman at some point in my life. And try out different events and everything. I'm probably not going to try to compete at national level because, I mean, those guys are something else.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I will try out a strongman competition once or twice in my life.
Yeah, why not?
Once I pull 800 sumo, why try to pull in a conventional? That is... I don't know right now.
I don't know.
The last time I maxed out conventional...
It was a while ago, wasn't it?
It was, like, summer. And I pulled 700 conventional. So...
You might be close.
I haven't tried pulling anything heavy conventional in a while. So, I mean, I have to read 800 sumo first before I start talking about pulling 800 conventional.
We were so close until we had to switch back over to kilo plates.
Yeah. Pound plates, I think I got it.
Pound plates is there, but
the
kilos are a whole different fucking ballgame.
But yeah, to answer that question, stay tuned. I don't know. Maybe.
Interesting.
That's all I got for questions.
Let me see if I have any more good questions for this.
If you stop.
Nah, people suck. No one asks any good questions. So, if you're seeing a Sunday sit down, I expect some better questions next time, too. Because you guys are disappointed.
So, are we going to close this out now?
Well, I guess I got one more question right here. I don't know if I like this question.
Let me see it.
Let's see. This one right here. That's a good question. Actually, I guess we could talk about favorite lifting apparel.
Favorite lift? I just go to Target, dude. I just go to Target and get graphic tees and go to Academy and get some shorts.
Damn.
I mean, I don't really...
I don't either, but there's...
I don't have the luxury of having, like...
If you had the luxury, what brand would you go to? What brands do you try? I would definitely, if I had, like, the luxury and just had money to blow, I would definitely buy a bunch of the hybrid stuff. Hybrid, look, that shit's sweet.
So, if we're going... I mean, of course, like I'd say for powerlifting standpoint, maybe, like, the A7 stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks cool. I mean, I'm not...
Yeah.
And, like, it looks cool and looks like... Like, you look like a badass. I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know, man. With lifting shorts, I guess...
You're like Gymshark and, like, Alphalete stuff?
Maybe Alphalete. Alphalete has some soft Alphalete shirts. Alphalete Gymshark... I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
I'm just a graphic tee guy. I go to Target and get a graphic tee for $10.99. And
Target has some good stuff, bro.
Yeah, and great, I just get some shorts.
Stuff. Yeah. I agree with that.
So, yeah. We good?
Yeah.
I think we're...
We got any other questions that we want to talk about?
Not this episode.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I don't have anything else either. But yeah, I guess let's come out with the outro. Let's close it out.
Okay, well, I'm going to do this for YouTube. I mean, if you like what you see, like, comment, subscribe, hit the thumbs up button at the bottom. For our listeners on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, if you like what you see, follow our podcast, and we'll be back. We'll try to stay consistent and be back every Sunday.
If you have any ideas for any future topics, videos, drop them in the comments below on YouTube, and then I guess... Mm-hmm.
And our DMs are open on Instagram.
Yeah, I guess DM, you have the account, right?
Like, yeah.
So just DM us, and if you liked episode 2, you can take like a screenshot and like share it and like put our ads, and we'll like be like, hey man, thank you, we'll like it, and you post it probably.
Yeah, I will.
I will too.
But yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Also, all these opinions are our own. Nothing against anybody that was named in the beginning, especially if you're a personal trainer and you're happy doing what you want to do. Keep doing your thing. Don't mind us. Not our business.
We're just boys having a conversation about men.
Yeah, don't take it personally. All right, and that is Sunday Sit Down episode 2.
Pew, pew, pew.
Dude.